Today's daf in Masechet Nidaz, daf Lamed Hey, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim. We are holding on daf Lamed Dalet on Amud Beit, three lines up from the bottom, and we have a question that is raised by Rabbi Yosef that is related to the type of question that Rabbi Yosef quoted Rish Lakish is asking yesterday. Yesterday we dealt with the question of what the din is of a Riyah Rishena of a Katan, because of the fact that the Torah compares the Riyah Rishena of a Zov to a Baal Keri, since it talks about the Ish Asher Teitzei Menu Shechvat Zera in the same pasuk of Zotorat Hazav, since it only mentions Zivot one time in that pasuk, Zotorat Hazav, so we understand that that's referring to a Zav Bal Riyah. The number of times that the word Zivas is mentioned in the pasuk is the indication, as the Gemara learns elsewhere, of what type of Zav we're talking about. So that means that the Zotorat Hazav of a Riyah Acha, the Asher Tetzeh Mimenu Shechvat Zera, is one halach. Therefore, we raised yesterday the question of whether someone below the age of 9 years who doesn't have viable sperm, and therefore his Shechvat Zera is not Metameh, maybe his Riyah Rishena will not be Metameh. Itself, obviously, is Mitzarif, because that we learn out the Din of Tziro from whatever. We have three possibilities, the Ish Ish, or the Zotorat, or the Lazach Havelani Keva, but we'll talk about that once again later. Today we want to raise a similar question, and that is, by Rabbi Yosef, what would be the din of a Riyah Rishona Shel Metzora? Ma'u Shetameh B'Masa. And normally, and we've been talking all along since this Mishnah about the interrelationship of Ma'ayanot to the Re'iot of things that are Metameh. So we questioned originally whether the dam is considered to be a mayan. That was in the Mishnah. And we had a number of examples of where it would be a mayan, and only a mayan, and not tameh in and of itself. One of the most striking examples was the dam tohar of a yoledet, whether it would be a mayan in terms of zivot or not. Here we have the question about a male in the same way. Now, until now, this sukkah is a little bit disturbing, as Tosfos points out, because it seems to ignore what we were saying yesterday, that la zachar v'la nekeva, that's mentioned by Mitzera, which teaches us a Mitzera, a Mitzora'at l'ma'ayanoteha, and we darsh that that must be adding that dam is a ma'ayan, because la zachar was unnecessary, because we could have learned that la zachar from la nekeva, remember. But now, we're actually raising the point about whether we need la zachar to tell me l'rabot mitzora l'mayan otav to be marba that there's a new mayan for zivas, just like we had yesterday a new mayan for zivas, meaning for dam of a nekeva. So it's as if we never even thought about this question before, and all of a sudden now we have to worry about perhaps indeed we need a pasuk for mayanos of a zachar. Tosfos leaves that problem hanging. But so does the Ran. Kivager suggests an answer. But in any event, let's pretend that that doesn't bother us. So now we're suddenly raising the issue about a male Mitzera. The equivalent question of whether there's a din of a Mayan is very simple. The case of Riyah Rishena. Riyah Rishena doesn't have a din of Zivas. So the same way we asked yesterday, Ziva is only in terms of Tziruv, but it's not a din of Zivas of being Metameh itself, nor to be Metameh him as a Zav. It's only Tameh as if he was a Baal Keri. So now the question is, if you do not have any Tuma of actual Re'iyah, and instead you only have a din of Mayanot, and where would you have a din of Mayanot? Well, there's another problem. He's also a Mitzera. So Mitzera has his spit would be Tameh, and his urine would be Tameh. What's the din of his Zivas? Is his Zivas Tameh because of his Taraz? That's the question. Fine, his din is Zivas isn't Tameh if it's the first Riyah because of Zivas. But is it Tameh because of his Taraz? That's the question. Will it be Metameh B'Masa? Or is it just like Shechvat Zera that's only Metameh B'Maga? Do we say Makom Ziva Ma'ayanu and it's therefore Metameh B'Masa? Oduma lav bayanu. Same question. Omar Rava Toshma. Take a look at the pasuk. Ish ish ki ye zav mi besoro zovo tamei. Now that's talking about a zav balshteri, because it mentions the word zivo twice. Okay? Zav mi besoro zovo tamei. This teaches us that a zav, the zov itself is tamei. Now tell me what you think we're talking about. Do you think that we are talking about a zav, just a zav, greda? And now it's telling me a big chiddush that the zivas itself is tamei, not only the man. Well, isn't it obvious that if the zivas makes the man tamei, that it's got to be tamei itself? Later on, the Gemara is going to challenge that assertion, but that's our assumption. So if you're going to tell me, lacherim dorim tuma, for others, meaning for the person who's reya this dam, he himself is mitamei b'masa. Now, what that means, mitamei b'masa, is a machloket Rashi and Tosfos. Remember, that's the issue. Masa, that's the only question. We know maga. Our only question is masa. So if it makes him tamei b'masa, what defines tamei b'masa? So Rashi learns tamei b'masa means the din of el yonah shel zav. Meaning that if he carries something, that something becomes tamei. So that means strange tuma, that is the equivalent of masa. Tainus Tesis, absolutely not. How is that the equivalent of masa? Masa is not mitamei only erchlin umashkin. And what Rashi is describing is el yonah shel zav, which is mitamei only erchlin umashkin. Therefore, Tesis understands mitamei b'masa means that someone who carries the zav will be tamei even though he never contacts the zav. So that means that the zivas is mitamei the individual who's reya the zivas, that he becomes a thing that if you carry your tamei without maga. So then koshikei the zivas itself is something that's going to be mitamei.
Carrying him without touching him.
Yeah, carrying him without touching. Masa. So that's a din of a zav. Yeah. Elapshita. So it can't be coming to tell me a normal zav. It's got to be talking about a zav who's a mitzera. That's the point. Now, if we're talking about Baal Shtei Re'iyot, okay, then if we need a posuk, mid'itzrich krala rabuye b'riya shniya, then how is it possible to say that mokom zivot is a ma'ayan? If you're telling me, why do we say zav mitzer? Because by zav mitzer there is a chiddush. What's the chiddush? This is a remarkable gemara, because, as you'll see in a moment, what is the chiddush of a zav mitzer? The zav mitzer, anyway, is in a position in which you do not need this zivais to cause him to be tamei b'masa. Why? Because a mitzera is anyway mitamei b'masa, correct? The zav is a matter, a mitzera is mitamei even abo ala ora. Koshikain is mitamei b'masa. Therefore, you cannot apply the kal v'chaimer. You understand why this is strange? It happens to be that this is a case where you don't need the zivis, but I mean, that means it's not a kal v'chaimer. I mean, if he hadn't been a Mitzera, it would have been Mitami. Why isn't it a Gavachimer? Remarkable Gemara. So the Rashba, the Ritva, point out that that's what the Gemara is saying. That a Gavachomer has to be actively utilized in order to provide data. So you can't say what would have been. Fact is, in this case, the Mitzera did not become Mitami B'masa because of Zivas. He was mitamei b'masa anyway. So now, how do you know that the zivas itself is mitamei? Therefore, I need the posik to tell me that azov et zovo, the zov itself is tamei. Now, if you're going to tell me that even in the Riya Shnia, I need a posik, that the zivas is mitamei, obviously it's not a mayan. Because if it was a mayan, it was even mitamei anyway with the first Riya. I mean, Koshkin the second read is, this makes no sense. Therefore, your answer is, Zivais is not a Ma'ayan. And remember that what defines the nature of Ma'ayan is whether it's mit'agel v'yotze. Anything which first gathers together in the body and then finds its way out of the body. So it needs to have some receptacle, some area where it first gathers and then comes out. And that's like roko, is mit agel v'yotzei. Therefore, our question is, how does Zivas work? As far as we know, Zivas simply drips out of his penis. There's no ejaculation of Zivas. So that might mean that there's also no gathering of Zivas. It's something that simply drips out, and there's not mitagel biyotzei. That's our question. So you see from here that Mokum Ziva is not considered to be a Mayan by the very fact that the Torah needs to be Marbet Tuma on a Zov Bal Shtei Riyos, who's a Metzera, where you do not have the Kal V'Chomer of Et Atzmo, La'Cherim Gorem Tuma Et Atzmo L'Koshet. Says Rav Yehuda Mideskarta L'Rova, you know, that's a pretty brilliant, actually, Svarim, except that it's based on a Kal V'Chomer that I don't think is necessarily true. Because you're assuming that if something is the cause of Tumah for something else, that it must be Tameh. But that is not necessarily the case. Omri Rav Yehuda Mideskarta L'Rava Mimai. Who's to say that any of this is true? Dilma Liyola Memelach Abzav Greda. Maybe indeed it's not talking about a Zav Mitzera, and you're saying, well, what do you mean? I certainly don't need it for a Zav Greda. If Lacherim Gerim Tumalat for a Koshkin, that's what you're saying. That's not true. Did you come with Lacherim Gerim Tumalat for a Koshkin? How about the Sar Mishtalayach? People who take the Sar Mishtalayach out become Tomei by the very virtue of their taking the Sar Mishtalayach out. And yet the Sar Mishtalayach is perfectly tar. A Baal Chai B'chah can't be Mekabel Tumah. So you see that things can be Gorim Tumah
without being
Tomei. So why can't Zivas be the same thing? Zivas describes an illness. So we're saying, someone who has this pathology is Tomei. What does that have to do with the symptoms of the pathology? You're assuming that somehow his Tumah is the result of the fact of his Zivas being something Tomei. Me'echateis. Therefore, I need the person to tell me that indeed the Zivas is Tomei. It's a fantastic finish. Beautiful. Omar Abaye. I don't even understand what the question was, honestly. My auntie boy, what the heck is going on over here? Am I missing something? Didn't Rav Yosef yesterday himself quote the pasuk of Zotorat Azav Ben Gadol Ben Katan, right? Remember that? When he was talking about Rish Lakish and everything, so he said, Zotorat Azav Ben Gadol Ben Katan. Now, remember that we weren't quite sure where to learn Ben Gadol Ben Katan, right? Because one way was to need la zachar le nekiva. La zachar le nekiva, la zachar kol shehu zachar. I don't care how old he is. But if you have the Zot Torah, and he apparently holds the drosh of Zot Torah, doesn't matter what your age is. Okay, fine, thank you. So now we're left without any other need for la zachar le nekiva. Of course, that's not true. Because we did have a need. The need was that we were going to be marben a vinekeva l'mayinotea, the mitzorat l'mayinotea, from the fact that the zav is extra, la zachar is extra, and therefore, emanuinian la zachar, tenerin l'anekeva. So as I say, Tosfos asks this question and leaves it hanging. But anyway, this leaves free the la zachar l'anekeva, okay? So I tell la zachar to be marben the mitzora l'mayinotea, and the Nekeva l'Rabba the Bitzorat l'mayinotea. Okay? Now what that means is that the Torah is comparing this directly. Hazav et Zovo. How many times is that? Two. La Zachar v'la Nekeva. Oh. That means that Hazav et Zovo is the one that's being compared in the Pasuk to the Bitzorat. Right? La Zachar v'la Nekeva. So if that's the case, then it's a Zav Gamur. It's not a comparison to a Zav Bal Re'iyah Achas. It's a comparison to a double Re'iyah. So therefore, just like a Zav Gamur is Metame B'masa, when he has two Re'iyahs, it's telling me that the Re'iyah Rishena Shal Mitzera is Metame B'masa. And therefore, that very Pasuk, Azav Et Zovo, La Zakar V'la Nekeva is Marba Mitzera. So the Torah is telling me that Azav et Zovo is to be included and compared to the Din of Tzorat. Obviously, it's got to be telling me that if that's the case, any Re'iyah of a Mitzera is compared to Azav et Zovo. And therefore we now learn that on the contrary, it is metame b'mas. It is considered to be the equivalent of a mayan. Okay. So therefore, we now have an obvious answer, and I cannot imagine why, of all people, Rabbi Yosef, who he himself recognizes that we're left with that extra pasuk la'zachar, why in the world he would have raised the issue at all. Amar Rav Huna, Ri'iya Rishona Shel Zav Metame Ba'ones, Shenemar Zot Torat HaZav Asher Tetzei Mimenu Shechvat Zera. Remember that we know that there's a special din from the Bisarog, that until the Ri'iya is something that is caused directly by some malfunctioning of the body, it's not considered to be a Ri'iya of Ziva. So anything, therefore, that the male will do, this is as opposed to the female, anything that a male will do, and we're going to learn later on about the Bedikas that we go through in our examination of Azav, to ask him whether there were various things that he might have done that would have caused the Zivas, which would have been considered to be an Ones to the body. Not, this is the opposite of the way we would normally look at Ones. Normally say Ones is no fault of mine. But we were talking about Ones to the body, where it is a fault of mine, and the poor body was used in a way that caused it to be Roya Zivas. So I did a lot of exercises that day and may have therefore caused Zivas. I overate that day and may have caused Zivas.
Did that cause become?
No, on the contrary, if there is that cause, you're not coming with Zivas. However, Tainas Rav Huna, that's only true of the later, of the later Re'iyas. But since the Torah compares the Re'iyah Rishena to a Balkari, now Balkari obviously is Ba'ones by definition. A Balkari is always going to be turned on in order to ejaculate. And therefore there has to be something that is causing that arousal. I don't care whether he's doing it on purpose, he's having intercourse, he's having a wet dream, it's irrelevant. But the point is, it's not part of what the body is doing as a matter of its normal malfunctioning. There's something that's causing this to happen. So by definition, a shechva zera is metame ba'ones, right? By definition. So if the Torah is comparing a Re'iyah Rishena to a Balkari, so then it's the same thing. Zotorat HaZav, that's one Zav, Re'iyah Rishena, Vasher Tetzemi Menor Shechvat Zera. Okay. So if Shechvat Zera is by definition Metame Ba'ones, so a Re'iyah Rishena Shel Zav would also be Metame Ba'ones, which would mean that there's no point in finding out, or at least you'd think it would mean, there's no point in doing the examination. There's a list of questions that we will ask the Zav. Did you do this? Did you do that? Well, for the first 3 years, why bother asking? He's going to be Tamei anyway, right? Asks the Gemara, no, wrong. It says, Beferish, we're going to have this later on, Ra'a Riyah Rishona Bodkinoto. We do give him this. First, this medical examination, which consists of questions that we're going to ask him. So my lava to mine, assuming that we're asking him these questions to decide whether he's tummy or not. And according to Rav Huna, it should be tummy no matter what. Says the Gemara, no. For sure he's tummy. That's not the issue. What we want to know is, how about if he's going to see another Re'iyah tomorrow? So we need to certify that the first Re'iyah is tzirifable to the other ones. So you're 100% right. Remember, we've separated these two issues out from the beginning. When we were talking about a child who's younger than 9 years of age, we know that he's metame b'zivais, but that's only in terms of three Re'iyahs or two Re'iyahs where we'll be mitzarif the first Re'iyah to a pattern of pathological Re'iyahs. But if he's Re'iyah, that doesn't mean that the Re'iyah Rishena is Tamei at all, because maybe it's like Shechva Zera. That was Reish Lakish's question. So all along we've been sensitive to two questions. Is three questions, really, because we wanted to know about the stuff itself rather than only the person. But there's been three issues here. The two that are important to us here is to distinguish between the Re'iyah Rishena vis-a-vis its own Tuma, the Tuma of the stuff, the Tuma of the person, and the Re'iyah Rishona in terms of it being the first of a series of Re'iyahs. So, yes, a Zav is not Tamei Ba'ones, meaning that you cannot add the first Re'iyah to the second Re'iyah if either of them were Ba'onis. But that doesn't mean that Rav Huna is wrong in saying that the Re'iyah Rishona, without it being a pattern, is going to be Matame Ba'onis. It just won't be addable to the other Re'iyahs, that's all. So if that's the case, don't we need, if he's going to the doctor, the Talmud Chacham, doesn't he need to have a medical certificate that defines whether his Re'iyah Rishona was Ba'ones or not, because that will define whether he can add it to the other Re'iyahs. But maybe it has nothing to do with his being Tame now. That's not the point. So Rav Huna is 100%. What we're talking about over here is Likorban, meaning to the eventual addition of this Re'iyah to two additional Re'iyahs, which then are Mechayev and Mekorban. That you got to know. Okay. Says the Gemara, no, I don't believe that, because look, Toshma. Bishniya Bodkinoto. For the second Re'iyah, we're Bodekim. Now, what are we Bodekim for in the second Re'iyah? For Korban? There's a continuation. Ria Rishena, we're Bodekim. Ria Shniya, we're Bodekim. For what? For Korban and not for Tuma? You mean to tell me that for the second Riyah he will definitely be Tame whether he saw it Ba'onis? That's absurd. Ikrikan mi besoro v'lo machmaton. So the whole point of the pasuk is to teach me that if he saw the second Riyah, which is where this pasuk appears, then that means that he is only Tame if it's mi besoro, meaning as a natural occurrence, and not if he did anything that might have caused this. So it says, Hazov et Zovo, that's the pasuk that talks about Mibisoro. In which case, what are you going to do? Must be that the Bedika over here is for Tuma. Can't be only for Korban. See, if it's for Tuma, then I'm assuming the ratio was also for Tuma. You're giving me a list. Ro Ria Rishena Botkinoto. Shnia Botkinoto. No, it's the same Botkinoto. If the Botkinoto for the Shnia was obviously even for Tuma, then that implies that the first one was also for Tuma. No, that's a Raya, meaning Iriam. What does that prove? I mean, all it's saying is Botkinoto. How can he eat it? The first one was Botkinoto to make sure that it's addable for the series, and the second one is even to determine whether he's tummy the cloth in the second year. That doesn't bother me. Okay, let's continue on with this. So then he doesn't bring a carbon, but he's Tamei Shivas Yami. Yeah. So Tashma, Rabbi Eliezer on there, Af Bishlishi Botkinoto, Mipnei HaKorban. Uh-oh. Now, if Rabbi Eliezer says, why are you saying only Ria Rishena and Ria Shnia? For the third Ria, you also need to be Baitikin, because he otherwise won't be Chayav HaKorban. Mashma, that up until now, we've been talking about Tuma. That's the pashtus of the meaning of Rabbi Eliezer. You're saying only be Baidek the first Riyah and the second Riyah, but once he's already Metame, Shivas Yomim, what's the Nafkamina Lagabe, the third Riyah? He's Tame already. Comes out Rebbe Eliezer and saying, no, what do you mean he's Tame already? But is this Riyah going to be Mechayev and Mekorban? You got to know whether he's Chayev and Korban. Mashma, that up until now, what have we been talking about? Being Baidek and to see if he's Tame. But you said, Rav Huna, that he isn't Tame. I'm sorry, that he is Tomei, whether he was Raya Bainus or not. So what are we being Baidikim for? Not for Korban. It's Rabbi Eliezer introduces the issue of the Korban. Uh-oh. Michlal the Tanakami b'bnei Atuma Korma. So in other words, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, oh, you think we only have to worry about Tuma? No, we need to worry about Bedika for Korban too. No, how are you going to explain that? Oh, please. Of course that's not what it means. The Kuliyama, the Korban, everybody agrees that you need Bedika all along for Korban. I mean, is there a way out of that? That's certainly true. That also for Korban you need to be Baidik to see if it was addable. But the point over here is whether you need a Bedika for the third Re'iyah, or whether perhaps the third Re'iyah would be Mechayev and Mekorban, even if it was Ba'ones, being as the first two Re'iyahs were already in place. And he was already telling me, that's the question. And what is that dependent on? Whether the word et is in fact additive. And therefore, Acha be'etim kamif, is the famous machloket about et. So the Rabbanan lo darshe etim, and Rebbe Eliezer darish etim. So Rabbanan lo dorish etim. Okay, so then read the pasuk. Ve'azav et zovo. So zav is one. Zovo is two. La zachar v'la nekeva. Okay, so it means for the third ri'ya, the zocher is like the nekeva. The nekeva is metame ba'ones. It's only the zocher is ror besoro. Okay, so if that's the case, then that means that the third ri'ya is metame, meaning to be mechayev a korban anyway, it's tame, but it's mechayev a korban, even if it was ba'ones, just as if he would have been a female, would have been metame ba'ones. Whereas the Rebbe Eliezer says, no, the third Ria is not Matame Bonus, because Hazav is one, Et is two, Zavo is three. Then he's Lazar Kavala Nekeva. So he's compared for the fourth Ria to the Nekeva. And that means, in other words, what's the fourth Ria? During Yeshiva Sekiyim. So if he's royal, let's say he exercises during Yeshiva Sekiyim, and because of his exercise, he has an additional Ria, he'll be Shaitz of the Shiva Snekiyim. That, yes. But to create the Chiyav of the Karban, Tanya's Rebbe Eliezer, you have to know that it wasn't Vayinetz. Nothing to do with Rav Huna at all. So therefore, Tanya's Rav Huna, I remain perfectly well in place. Ria Rishena is Metame as a Balkari, and a Balkari by definition is Metame Ba'ones. As far as whether that first Ria can be added to the subsequent Re'iyas to be Matame Beziva, no, for that you need an examination. The question of whether the third Re'iyah requires an examination, when I say examination, I mean a history that the doctor is taking of what might have caused this to happen, right, which would be something that you would do even today. If somebody's coming with symptoms of Zivas, then obviously you're going to ask him whether there might be some physical thing that occurred that would have made this not pathological, so we don't have to worry about it. So therefore, we will, according to Rebbe Eliezer, need to see the third Riyah also in terms of Korban. According to Rabbana, we don't need to see the third Riyah because there is similar to an Akeva and his Metame, even Ba'inus. Tashma. Okay, let's see if we can bring further rise to this. Rebbe Yitzchak says, why in the world does the Torah mention this special din of Zivas? Isn't a Zav anyway included in the normal din of a Balkari? Now we're going to ask what the heck that's supposed to mean. But isn't a Zav included in the normal din of a Balkari? So why then does the Torah mention a special parsha of Zivas to cover the dinim of a Zav? Both Lakel Alav Alachmir Alav. Lakel Alav, to teach me that if we're dealing with Zivas as opposed to Keri, that you're not going to be Tomei Ba'ones. And Lachmir Alav, that if you had really been Raya Keri, you wouldn't have been Eisa Mishka V'maisha. But since this time you're being Raya Zivas, you're more Tamei to be Metamei Mishka V'maisha, which is a Chum. Now I ask you, what in the world is this talking about? What was Rabbi Yitzchak referring to, right? Was he referring to the Raya Shnia? Emat, Ilam of Raya Shnia, where in the world was a Zov compared to a Balkari for the Riyah Shnia. It was never compared to a Balkari. So therefore, Echavi B'chal Balkari. Elab Shita, we've got to be talking about the Riyah Rishena. And it says in the Riyah Rishena, Lahakel Alav. Lahakel Alav means he's not Metame Be'ones, which is against Ravuna. Ravuna says the Riyah Rishena, because it's compared to Keri, is Metame Ba'ones. Now you got a pretty good raya over there that Ravuna is wrong. See, well, what are you talking about? And Lachmir Alav? How do you explain the words Lachmir Alav? For God's sake, Lachmir Alav, that he's Osa Mishka V'moshav. What, Ri'i Rishana? There's somebody who holds that a Zov Bal Ri'ah Achaz is Metame Mishka V'moshav? That's against the Pusik. It's compared only to Shechlazera. So forget it. Obviously, you don't understand what you're talking about. You want to analyze Rabbi Yitzchak, try to figure out what he means. Elohakikama, obviously, there's only one possible explanation. The Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, V'halozav b'chlal balkeri haya b'riya rishona. He anyway was already included in a balkeri, okay? So if we would continue for his next riya, to view him as a balkeri, what's wrong? Why does the Torah need to introduce the parsha of Zivas? Oh! For the Riyah Shnia, it's Lakel Alav Lachmir Alav. So it's Lakel Alav in this new Riyah that he's not a Balkari, because if he had been like a Balkari, he would be Metame, even Ba'ones, as Rabbi Yitzchak pointed, as Rav Huna pointed out. And here it's coming to tell me that he's not Metame Ba'ones. On the other hand, of course, if he's not Ba'ones, then he will be Metame L'chumra. So it's Lachmir Alav that he is Eisem Mishkav Eshav. And that works out 100% like what Ravuna was saying. So there, if anything, you read it backwards. Says Ravuna, and obviously we are talking about two completely different substances when we're talking about semen and we're talking about zivas. So if you're talking about zov, if you want to compare basically the material of zivas to the material of keri, you can look at the white of an egg. Now the white of an egg, if it's a nice healthy egg, then the albumen of the egg is similar to semen. It's thick, it's connected, it's interconnected, it's not watery. But zivas is like a beta that is muzeret. The beta muzeret has been sitting around here, it was unfertilized, it gets very watery and disgusting. And there you're talking about something that is similar to zivas. So zov is domela mei batsek shel se'arim. You leave se'arim lying around. When you make a dough, you get this watery looking kind of thing. Furthermore, zov will come out of a flaccid penis, so it's b'basar hamet, where shichvat zera is always ejaculated from a live penis, from an erect penis. A zov is deha, separated out. Here we're not talking about the color. Here we're just talking about how thick. It's doma lelov and beitza muzer. It's like the albumen of a rotten egg, where shichvat zera is kshura. It's interrelated. It's thick. And it's doma lelov and beitza she'ena muzer. Therefore, don't get confused. We're not talking about only the time of the reading. We're talking about different substances completely that could not be confused one with the other. Dam ha'yoledet shelo tavla. Well, let's get back to the Mishnah. Let's take a look at the Mishnah again so that we understand clearly what happened here. Remember that the Mishnah wants us to be sensitized to the question of the relationship of Riyas Dam to Ma'ayanot. And it does this in two ways. It talks about Dam Tahara, where the woman was Tmeya because she's a Mitzorat. So if Dam is a Ma'ayan, then it will have the din of Ma'ayanot to be Mitome, if it's at least locked, not if it's Yavesh. If you hold, like Beit Shammai, it's Torah completely because it's too easy to get confused. And therefore, he says, what am I supposed to do? I have no way to handle this issue. And then we have, which we're going to be talking about now also, Adam Hayoledet Shelo Tavla. So if she never went to the mikveh, she's still Mayanoteha, or still Tmeot, because of Leda, similar to Tzaraz. But her Dam itself is the Dam Toar. Now, of course, this raises another question. Whether Dam Toar can begin without being Tovelet. Fine, that's a separate issue. But let's pretend that Dam Toar arrives without Tvila, which we're going to discuss. So now we have two examples of women whose Ma'ayanot are Tmeot, the Mitzorat and the Yoledet, who are currently not being Metame because of Dam, because it's Dam Toar. And the question is what the relationship of that Dam is to Ma'ayanot to be Metame, at least Lach. There's another problem in the second part, which is according to Beit Hillel, that's not called Dam Tohar at all, because she wasn't Tovelet. That's a different issue. So it'll be Metame Lach V'Yavesh. But let's ignore that. We'll talk about the meaning of the Beit Shammai. We have two examples of Ma'ayanot, correct? Okay. So let's get into the discussion that doesn't appear in the Mishnah, but that appears in the Braita, which clarifies what the various Shitot are of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Tanya. So the Braita on this Mishnah reports a discussion. Amrulehem Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. What do you mean? I mean, Yatim Odim Enida, who never went to the mikvah. Now she's Roya Dam. So isn't that Dam Tmeya and Mitzpatame, Lachri Yavesh, and so on and so forth? I mean, so what are you saying? Amrulehem Beit Shammai, what does that have to do with the price of eggs in China? Lo imamartam benida, she'afilo tavla v'ra'ata tmeya. Obviously, this has nothing to do with the nida. The nida could have gone ahead, been tovelet, if she's roya dam again, then that dam is going to be tmeya. I'm talking about a yoledet. A yoledet, we agree that if she had gone to the mikveh, and now she was roya dam, 14 days after the Nekeva, 7 days after the Zohar, the Dam would be Tahar, right? So if the Dam would be Tahar, who cares if she was Tovelet or she wasn't Tovelet? The bottom line is that we're dealing with the question of whether this Dam is a Mayan, not whether this Dam is Tamei. So what are you bringing the Araya from Anita from? I don't understand what you mean. Says Beis Hillel to Beit Shammai, Yoledet Bezov Tochiach. Well, 1 second over here. The din over here would be that if she had, before her delivery, she had had a period, was mitzaharet from that, and now she's Raya for 3 days, she becomes a Zofa. She cannot be mitzaharet until after her Yimei Tuma, the later Yimei Taras, we'll see later on. So now, if she was Tovelet, and she was Ra'ata, La'akri Yimei Sfirat Torah, Lo tavla v'ra'ata tmeya. Isn't there a tremendous difference if she was tovelet after she counts 7 days that are taharim, that then she becomes tahar? But if she never went to the mikveh and she was roya, that she's tmeya. So why isn't that true about the yoledet? If yoledet was not tovelet, so why would she be any different than a zava who wasn't soferet? Says Beit Shammai, excuse me, sir, but it's exactly the same. Hu hadin via tshuva. Actually, you're wrong. The din would be by the yoledet bezov, that if she counted shivat yamim and did not go to the mikvah, I would say exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. It's now time for her dam tohar. I don't care if she went to the mikvah or not. The blood itself is tahor. Now the question is it coming from a mayan of a woman who's tamei? That's a different issue. If it's coming from a mayan of a woman who's tamei because of zivais, well, yes, she wasn't tovelet, so obviously it's going to be metame, but it'll only be metame lach. It won't be metame yavesh. Why do you insist that it's metame lach v'yavesh and that it's still regular dam? Now what this means is, this conversation informs us that when the closing words of the Mishnah, please look again, the closing words of the Mishnah are, we're going to get back to them in a moment in the Gemara, Umodim b'yoledet bezov, Beit Shammai is also moda, that if she was yoledet bezov, that then she's metame lach v'yavesh. Now we thought that that meant exactly what Beit Hillel thought it meant, that Beit Shammai is ready to agree that if she didn't go to the mikveh after Shivas Nikim, that then her dam tohar would still be tomei, because it's still zivas. She's a zava. And they'll agree with me that it's metamei lach v'yavesh. Therefore, they tie it to Beit Shammai. I mean, and what about the oledet bezov? Says Beit Shammai, excuse me, I never said anything about tefillah. You're the ones who jumped to the conclusion that it has to do with tefillah. Tefillah is a totally different issue. Tefillah has nothing to do with the blood that she's now seeing, whether it's dam tohar or not. Tefillah has to do with what she is, not with what her blood is. Her blood is dam tohar. Now you want to know, is it a mayan? That's your problem. I hold anyway it's not a mayan, but I agree that fine, we've got a problem, and we're going to give it a din of a mayan to be matami lach. All right. But certainly it's not going to be matami lach for yavesh. You're claiming it's a diaraita still dam of a zava. It's not. It's after Shivas Nikim. This is a very, very important machloket. That's what din v'atshuva. It's exactly the same. It's exactly the same as the yoledet during her Yemei Tohar. Forget about yoledet bezov. I told you if she didn't go to the mikveh, that's the opening case in the Mishnah. Yoledet shelo tavla, no problemo.
So it's not related to
tefillah. To?
To tefillah.
Correct. So it's the same. I give you the same answer I gave you a moment ago. I don't understand where you got the idea. What? The Mamer, the Pauling. Wait a minute. Wait, what do you mean where you got the idea? The Mishnah says, V'yatznanu modin b'yoledet bezov shimetam alach v'yavish. I'm going nuts over here. Yes, he's made or not he's made. Excuse me. Yes, he's made if she didn't count Shivas Nikim. No, he's not made if she did count Shivas Nikim. But why do you keep insisting to go back to tefillah? Who mentioned tefillah? Lo kashe kanchi safra, shivat nikiyam kanchi lo safra. As a matter of fact, Vatanya Brisa speaks it out clearly. You let it dissolve shesafra velo tavla, okay? I'm not jumping to conclusions over here. Velo tavla verata halchu beit shamai l'shitadan or beit hillel l'shitadan. There you go. So it's clear that according to beit shamai, you do not need a tefillah in order to change the relationship of the dam toar to the regular dam, or the dam post zivais, which now is dam toar for you let it dissolve to its new status of Torah Dam, except for the fact that she's Tmeya, that's a different problem. But it's certainly not Matami Lach V'Yadish. Okay, now, this, of course, gets to the root of the problem. There's two possibilities for what's going on over here. The Gemara's going to examine both of them. One possibility is that the argument between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai revolves around whether the Din of Dam Toar is a legal issue, which the Torah says, look, if you go through the steps of Tahara, then this blood is now hereby deemed I dub thee Tahar. If you don't go through the steps of Tahara, so then I don't deem thee Tahar. Whereas according to Beit Shammai, I don't need to be Tvila to be deemed thee Tahar.
I don't deem thee?
I don't need Tvila to be Zeich HaTakar Shmuel saying I deem thee Tahar. That's one simple way of learning it.
Just the number of days, the number.
I go through the steps to define that I am now a yoledet bimei tahara and not bimei svirata. That's all.
You think that
exude
now is a different category?
Right, because the Torah said. That's one way of looking at it. That's a legal question. The other way of looking at it is that they're arguing about whether it's a physical question or a legal question. So it's possible that the Machlokas consists of the question of whether Dam Tohar is the same substance as Dam that's not Tohar. That's the question. And that it's coming from a totally different hormonal basis than that Dam. And that's why it's Tohar, not because it's arbitrarily deemed to be Tohar. Now that could be the Machlokas as well, but this touches, of course, on the question that we've discussed earlier. And that is the famous machloket that we will hear once again discuss. And this is the more of a central point. Itma. Rav Amar Ma'ayan Echad. Rav says, look, there's no physical difference between Dam Tahor and Dam Tamei. It's all the same Ma'ayan. It's a simple legal question of whether the Torah says it's Tamei or the Torah says it's Tahor, and there's nothing else that distinguishes it. Levi says, no, it's two completely different issues. So it's Shtei Ma'ayanotem, and this is literally issues. So two completely different issues. Nistam HaTamei, Niftach HaTahor. We have to close the flow of Tamei Dam, we open the flow of Tahor Dam, and vice versa. Nistam HaTahor comes to the end of 40 days or 80 days for the Zachar and the Kiva respectively, then we close the Dam of Tahira, and now begins the Dam that's coming from, once again, her menses with all of the problems, Niftach HaTamei. What is the obvious difference between them? The obvious difference between them is where we know that there was no moment at which one type of blood stopped and the other type of blood began. So according to Levi, if we're talking about a physical difference, then there needs to be a moment where that physical difference takes place. And therefore, we should see a stoppage of blood and then a beginning of blood. So therefore, the nafkamina will be ikabinayu, where she is shofat. The blood continues to drip, 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 drip without any hepsic. Whether that's from the beginning of the 7th, meaning the end of the 7th to after the 7th, or the end of the 14th to after the 14th, or from the 40th for a Zohar to post 40th, or the 80th Minikava to post 80th. It's according to Levi. Since all of this is a physical reality, what we need to do is look at the physical reality. According to Rav, well, who cares? The Torah defines arbitrarily the instant the clock strikes Shkia. So now the halacha is, before it was Tamei, now it's Tahor. Before it was Tahor, now it's Tamei, at the end. According to Levi, now wait a minute, it's still Dom Tor because it's still dripping. But it's wavy. It's 150 days later. I don't care. We keep giving her transfusions. Bottom line is it's still Dom Tor because it never stopped. And vice versa. The Dom Leda, according to Levy. Levy, it's already 26 days after. I don't care. She's still bleeding from the Leda. There was never a let up. So where's the Dom Tor? Didn't start yet. According to Rob, it's exactly the opposite. So in other words, according to Levy, for the case where she still bleeds after the Dom Leda, it's a Chumrah. Where she still bleeds after the end of Yemei Tayar, it's a Kula. According to Rob, vice versa. Who cares if she still bleeds? It's a Kula. Now it's the beginning of Yemei Tayar. On the other hand, it's a Chumrah at the end. Because I don't care if she's still bleeding. The Torah arbitrarily has described this blood as stomach, even though one moment ago it was tar. Exactly the same blood. What can you do? So therefore, in that case, according to Rav, the Reisha will be a Kula, because it becomes tar, whether she's bleeding or not. The Seif is a Chorma, because it becomes stomach at the end of the 40 or 80 days, whether she's bleeding or not. According to Levi, the Reisha is a Chorma, because she remains Tamea Leda, no matter how long after the birth, if she doesn't stop. And the Seifa is a Kula, because she remains in the middle of Dam Tohar, no matter how long afterwards, as long as she doesn't stop. Now we immediately see the relevance, which of course is why we brought this up here, we see the relevance of this discussion to our Mishnah in the Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Because that certainly is one possible explanation of the Machlokas. Obviously, it can't be the only explanation, because if it were, then that would force me to be going only on Libra Beit Shammai, which is ridiculous. Okay, but it's certainly one possibility. So let's take a look now at the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, let's look at the Mishnah. Meitei. Dam ha-yoledet shelo tavla. Okay, so here we have, according to Beit Shammai, it doesn't distinguish in the Mishnah whether she had stopped bleeding for a moment or not. So obviously it doesn't matter, right? Well, that's our assumption. It just says. It just says that she wasn't Tovela. Beit Shammai says, okay, so it's a Mayan, but that's all it is. Kiroka uchamei miraglea. She remains a woman who is Tamei because of her Leda. Her Mayanos are Tameot, but she is certainly not bleeding blood that's Tamei. And therefore, it's no different than urine. Beit Hillel says, no, what are you talking about? This is the Dam that is Matamei. Now, we assumed, for good reason, that the Mishnah is talking about that there was a break, even if there was a break, between one Dam and the other. So now, according to Rav, everything makes sense. Rav says, it's Mayan Echad, okay? That would explain why Beit Hillel is saying that it's Mitame Lach V'Yavesh. Basically, this is now hereby defined only where the Torah defines it as Tahar. So this is Tamei Dam. According to Levi, what do I care what she did? She wasn't Tovelet. So this, the bottom line is, this is not the Dam that the Torah was Matame. You're telling me, but she still remains Tamei. Fine. So then this is Mayonis. That's all. Maximum. So according to Levi, how does he explain that it would be Matame Lach V'Yavesh? Omelech HaLevi, well, you're assuming it was talking about Paseket. I'm saying it's talking about a Shofat. She didn't stop bleeding. If she didn't stop bleeding, Tainas Beit Hillel, so then this is still Dam Leda, and therefore it should be Matame. That's what Shalot Tovelet mean. Wait a minute, Shofat, then why does Beit Shammai say that it's considered to be only Mayanot? Not, it's because Beit Shammai holds like Rav. But I was only going to leave it at Beit Hillel. So according to Beit Shammai, because every Beit Shammai, it's Mayan Echadu, Enoch Inami. According to Beit Shammai, it's not a problem. Even if she is Shofat, as Rav explained, look, you know, bottom line is that the Torah defines what the situation is. So who cares if it's Shofat? So it's actually exactly the opposite of the way you were looking at it. Okay, so according to Levi, actually, that would explain the machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Right? Because we're saying, Beit Shammai holds like Rav, Beit Hillel holds like me. Well, that's wonderful for him. That adds up 100%. Obviously, I'm not going to be talking Aliba de Beit Shammai. I'm talking La Halacha, Aliba de Beit Hillel. So Aliba de Beit Hillel, Taina's Levi, this would explain, since we have Shnei Ma'ayanot, and that's why there is Dam Torah. And over here she was Shofa'at, and therefore the other Dam never started. So Beit Hillel says so. This is really the bleeding from her later. I don't care how much later it is. She never stopped bleeding. Okay, Beit Shammai says, what do you mean? What do you need that it should stop bleeding? The Torah defines it as different dam. But according to Rav, obviously we're not going to say that Rav is going Aliba de Beit Shammai. So according to Rav, my Benai, what then is the machlok between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Oh, Rav explains it in the opposite way. Rav says, obviously everybody agrees to me that Ma'ayan Echad Hu HaTorah Timato HaTorah Taharato. The only question is, what defines the moment that the Torah redefines the Dam? You're assuming that the Torah redefines that if you hold it's just an arbitrary redefinition, then it's redefined as per the day. Okay? No, absolutely not. It's redefined, Aliba de Beit Hillel, as per the process of Tahira. If you go to the mikveh, then the Torah says, okay, now that you were mitaharet, from this point on, I arbitrarily am mitaharet your dam. But if you're not mitaharet, I'm not mitaharet your dam. So it's not that you are a woman with ma'ayanot, you are a yoledet, period. You didn't go to the mikveh. Until you go to the mikveh, you're a yoledet. This is what you're telling me. But the Torah says dam toyar. The Torah said dam toyar when you finish with tumas yoledet. Is that a mayan? You're a real yoledet. Your dam is tamei midoraita, ben lach, ben yavesh, just like the yoledet was at the beginning of her leida. That's the difference. So, Beit Shammai Savrei, who said anything about tefillah in the Torah? The Torah talks about the number of days, tmeah, shvu'ayim kenidata, fine, 14 days. 14 days are over. That's it. She's no longer mitam with dam of leida. Tola rachmona b'yumi, and not tefillah. Whereas Beit Hillel say, no, it's obvious that you need tefillah also. And biyume utvila, and that's the machloket. Ask the Gemara, so what about the last part of the Mishnah? Let's understand how to read those words. Beit Shammai is meida in a case where she's a yoledet bizov, that over there it's metame as real dam. Now we thought that this case was also talking about where she had stopped bleeding. Okay, so again we have exactly the same question. According to Rav, who says that it's Mayan Echad. So therefore, if the Torah defines her as still being a Izava, so Mishumachi Metame Lach V'Yavesh, it's real Dam, and it's the physical Dam is no different. So the Torah called her Izava, and therefore it's Metame Lach V'Yavesh. But according to Levi, this is not the Dam of the Zivas, this is the Dam of Tehar. So who cares? Why would Beit Shammai be made it? So according to Levi, who says it's Shnei Ma'ayanot, why would Beit Shammai agree that it would be Matame Lach B'Yavesh? Amar Lach, says Levi, I don't understand. I'll tell you exactly the same thing I told you about the ratio of the Mishnah. The entire Mishnah is talking about where we don't get into the issue of whether there's a new Ma'ayan. It's talking about she was Shofat. Well, so then I don't understand. If she was Shofat, according to Levi, why are we even mentioning this case? Lamai Istra. No, that's the point, says Levi. Of course, according to Beit Hillel, you don't need to talk about this case at all. Meida. It's not Meida Beit Hillel. It's Meida Beit Shammai. Okay, but what's the Chiddush on Libra Beit Shammai? I'll tell you. You might have made the mistake. The Beit Shammai Istra. Because even though we know that Beit Shammai says, like Rav, that's why, of course, Rav is wrong, says Levi. So, but even though Beit Shammai holds like Rav, that it's Ma'ayan Echad, and the Torah doesn't require tefillah, it's only a function of the number of days, u'biyume tala rachmana. Yes, biyume tala rachmana, but only by a yoledet. The Torah says, tmei'ah, shvu'ayim, and now forget about it. But how about if she has to have Sfirat Shivat Nekiyim? I'm not talking about tefillah. I'm saying, Azava, the Torah says, requires Yumi. Not Yumi from the later 14 days. 7 clean days. That's the Chiddush that Beit Shammai is saying, that even though He odds like Rav, but in this particular case, the Yoledet Gridata, the Shalim Elo Yumi, Avo Yoledet Bezov, for Yoledet Bezov requires Sfira. That's the Chiddush Halibut of Ben Shammai, that there I would never have said that the Torah is considering this to be a new Tohar Dam. Lo, I would not say it, and therefore it's not Nogea to be Mataya, or even to call it only a Maya. I agree, it's pure Dam and hasn't changed its status. So far, we're in the middle of this discussion. We haven't brought a Raya. We haven't brought a knockout Raya, either according to Rav or according to Levi, but we have managed to penetrate more deeply into the Machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel in our Mishnah. Boy, Rav Yosef, Riya Rishona Shal Mitzora, Mahu Shetetame Bimasa, Makum Ziva Ma'ayanu Umitame, Aldim Alav Ma'ayanu, Omar Rav Tashma, Zovo Tameyu, Limeid Alazav, Shutame. Now I ask you, Bema, Ilema Bezav Greda? Isn't that a little ridiculous to need a Raya? La Herim Gorem Tuma, La Tzmolo Koshikin. Ela Pshita, we're talking about a Zov Mitzora, who would not be Metame because of the Zivas, he was Metame anyway, because of the Tzorat, and we don't have a Kalva Chomer. In which case, we need the Pasek to be Marba, and this is the Pasek of Azov et Zovo. So it's being Marba Re'ia Shnia. If it's being Marba Re'ia Shnia, then obviously the first Re'ia was not a Mayan, or he would have already been Tamed. So Shmamina Makom Ziva Lav Mayanu. Omerle Rebuta me discard al Rav Amimai. Dilmali Olam Emelacha Bezav Greda. And as far as your tining, well, it's a Kavah Homer, La Herim Garim Tuma, that's Molo Koshikin. Why is that true? There's a case of the Sar Mishtalayat, it's going to Malachiri, and it itself is Tahar, so what's the big deal? I'm not buying Mighty Boyle at all. I didn't even understand what he's asking over here. He was the one who mentioned Zotarat Azab, Ben Gadol Ben Katan, okay? If he knows that from there, why does he need La Zachar not to tell me Kol Shehu Zachar? Because he knows that. Elamai. L'rabot mitzora l'mayinotav and nekeva z'rabot mitzora l'mayinoteha, in which case the Torah is telling me that a mitzora is hukash to a zav balshtei riyot, who is a zav gamur. And that teaching me, just like a zav gamur is metame b'masa, the ri'i of rishona shel mitzora is metame b'masa. Om revuna ri'i rishona shel zav is metame b'onis. Why? Even though Zivas is not Metame Bionis, but since it says Zotorat Azav, Vasher Tetzei Mimeno Shichvat Zera, if Shichvat Zera is by definition Metame Bionis, Afri Yarishona Shozav is Metame Bionis. Toshma, Ra'ari Yarishona Botkinoto. Now, why in the world are we doing this clinical discussion with him? Must be to determine whether he's Tame. No. It's to determine whether he's going to bring a carbon with the third Riyah. Okay, let's continue. Toshma, Bishnia, Botkinato. Now, it's certainly this is not Lekarban and not Latuma, Avalatuma Lo. That's ridiculous. He's certainly not going to be Matame either because Ikrikan, Mibisaro, Velomach Batonso. El Alav, we're certainly asking him these questions. Legabi, the din of his Tuma. Well, if that's the case, be the safe Latuma, Reishanami Latuma. Never a big deal. Midi Ire. Okay, let's read further. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, even Bishlishi Botkinato Mipnea Korban. Now, doesn't that tell you that the Tanakhama did not hold that Botkinato Mipnea Korban? And rather, we were talking about being Bodekoto Mipnea Tumaka Omar? No, you missed the point. Of course, Kuli Amala Korban. The question is whether the third Ri is Nogea, a Bedika for a Korban. And that's dependent on Be'etim, Kamiflagay. According to Rabbanon, Lo Darshe Etim. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Darish Etim. Therefore, Rabbanon Lo Darshe Etim. So how do we read it? Hazav 1, Zovo 2, La Zachar V'la Nekeva is the third, which means Bashlishi Akshar Rachmanon L'Nekeva, to teach me that on the third re, it makes no difference if it's ba'ones or not, just like in a keva. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer, who is Dorish Etim, reads Zav, one et, two Zovo, three. Now the fourth one is Aksharach one in a keva, and therefore only to be sourced to the Shivas Nekian, it's no Geya to know that even if it's ba'ones, it's sourced to the Shivas Nekian. Toshma. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Valo Zav Bichlal Bal Keri Haya. Therefore, why does the Torah speak about Zivais? Lama Yatzal La Kelalav Lach Miralav La Kelalav She'ena Matam Beonez Lach Miralav She'osem Mishkavu Moshav. Now, what are we talking about? Ema Riashnia. Where in the world is a Riashnia Bichlal Bal Keri? So it's got to be referring to Ria Rishena. And it says, La Kelalav, that he's not Mitame Ba'ones, which is clearly the opposite of Ravuna. Oh, come on. It says the Gemara Tizra. Read the next word, La Kmiralav, that he's also Mishkav Moshav. You're telling me Ria Rishena is a Mishbar Mishkav Moshav. You don't even understand what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying. And I'll come Rabbi Yitzchak Emer. Halozav Beklal Balkeri Haya, with the Ria Rishena. Why now do we start discussing new halachas by the Riyah Shnia to be both Mekil and Machmer? La Kilalav, Sheinu, a time of bone is like he did in the Riyah Rishayna, exactly as Ravuna said. Ulach Miralav, Shuol Seb Mishkavu Moshe. I'm Ravuna. The actual substance is Ziva, of Ziva, is not to be confused with semen. It's similar to Mebat Seik. Shel Seorin. Furthermore, Zov Bami Basar Hamet and Shichvat Zera Bami Basar Hachai. Furthermore, Zov is Deha and it's Dome Leloven Beitza Hamuzeret, where Shichvat Zera is Kishura and it's Dome Leloven Beitza Sheinna Muzeret. What are you saying? If she wasn't Tovelet, I mean, she's a Nida Shalotavla. Nida Shalotavla was Ruat Adam. Isn't she, Adam's going to be Tomei until she's Tovelet? What are you talking about? Amrulam Beit Shammai, what are you talking about? Luma Martin Benida, even if she had been Tovelet and was Ruat Adam, she would have been Tomei. Yoledet, if she had been Tovel, even according to you, and then she was Re'adam, she would be Tor. What kind of crazy question is that? Amrulam, how about a Yoledet Bezov? If she was Tovel of Arat, Alakri, Beitzvir, she's Torah. But if she wasn't Tovelet, and then she's Rata, she's Tamea. Amrulam, I beg your pardon. Who had the envy? Yachuva, you're wrong. So what, you're telling me that they do argue about a Yoledet Bezov? What? The Mishnah says, "Umodim the Yoledet Bezov." Shimitam alach v'yavesh. Of course, one is talking about where she's so fair at Shivat Nekiim, and one is talking about where she's not so fair at Shivat Nekiim. Of course, Beit Shammai is made if she's not so fair. All he's talking about is where you didn't have. She's not tovelet. That's the nafkamina. And indeed, Vatanya, Yoledet Bezov shesafra v'lo tavla v'ra'ata holchu Beit Shammai l'shitatan Beit Hillel l'shitatan. Itma, Rav Amar Mayane Chadu Atorati Ma'ato Vatorati Harato V'Levi Omer Shnei Ma'ayanotem Nistam Atamei Niftach Atahor Nistam Atahor at the end Niftach Atamei. My Benayu, very simple. Ike Benayu Shofat Mitoch Shiva Le'achar Shiva, or for Nekeva Mitoch Arbasa Le'achar Arbasa, for a Zohar Mitoch Arbaim Le'achar Arbaim, or for Nekeva Mitoch Shmonim Le'achar Shmonim. According to Rav, in the first case will be Mekel to give her Yemei Tohar despite Shifui, and in the safe will be Machmer to give her a regular Riazdam despite the Shifui from Yemei Tohar. According to Levi, it's just the opposite. The Reisha is Lechumra, and the Seif is Lekula, because she was never Poseket. Meitve Dam, Ayoledet Shalotav La Beit Shammai Omrim Kiroka, Uchamei Meiragleha, Ubeit Hillel Omrim Mitamei Lach V'Yavesh. Now, we assume that that meant even though she was Poseket. So according to Rav, who says it's Mayan Echad, who fine. So I understand, if it's Mayan Echad, therefore she's Mitamei Lach V'Yavesh, because this is the same Dam, and she hasn't been Mitamei herself. But according to Levi, what's the point? If it's Shnei Mayanot, who cares whether she had been Mitamei herself? Am I Mitamei Lach V'Yavesh? At the most, it's a Mayan to be Mitamei Lach and not Yavesh. Amar Halevi, no. The Mishnah is referring to a case where she shofat. Shofat? So then why would Beit Shammai indeed say otherwise? If she shofat, it's the same dam tame. Because Beit Shammai holds like Rav, that indeed it's Mayan Echad, and there's never a change between Mayanot. It's always an arbitrary definition of the Torah. Ah, so Bishlam Levi, that precisely is the issue. Either the Ika, Bein Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel. But according to Rav, my Bein Ayu. Ika Bein Ayu, Yume Vitvila, Beit Shammai Savre, Beyume Tel Rachmana, Beit Hillel Savre, Beyume Yutvila Tel Rachmana. Very simple. Tashma. Umodim Bioletit Bezovshi, Metama Lach, Beyavesh. Now, we assumed here as well that the Mishnah is talking about even in a case where she was Poseket, and therefore, it only works out according to Rav. So Bishlam al Rav, who says it's all a Mayan Echad, that would explain why Beit Shammai is made it, but according to Levi, who holds it Shnei Mayanot, it's not Dom that's Betame, so who cares? If it's Shnei Mayanot, how could it possibly be called Dom that's Betame Lach V'Yavesh? No, it's talking about Bishofat. Bishofat, so there's no Chiddush. So no, my instrument. No, there's a Chiddush according to Beit Shammai. Because Beit Shammai holds that it's Mayan Echad, and therefore Shofat is irrelevant. And he holds Beyume Tel Rachmana. So you might have thought, okay, so maybe if she's a Yoledet Bezov, he would agree that Torah arbitrarily defined it by the 14th day she started. Therefore, it teaches us that no, that's a Yoledet Great Data, where the Torah defines it by Shlimelu Yume. But a Yoledet Bezov requires Sfira Shivas Nekiim, not 14 days. And therefore, if she wasn't so ferret, lo, and it's Batame, Lach V'Yavesh.